Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, joined today by Michael Leone. And in this episode of the podcast, we just thought, you know, we should probably sit down and instead of just having conversations about best ball leagues in our own little private chat, we should bring some of what we've been talking about and working on to the subscribers. So the idea today is we're going to talk about roster construction in best ball and probably like a little bit of player values and stuff as well. But Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. As I've been doing more of the best ball championship, and it's very specific to the best ball championship, not like your regular flat payout leagues that you would do on draft, not the slow drafts, but the best ball championships, whether I think it's the mini, the regular, the mega, any of those, I think there's some validity to getting weird, and I guess we'll go through some strategies that might seem weird and really stupid at first glance, but we think create the type of ceiling that if it breaks right, you know, you could actually win one of these things because it's a pretty daunting task to win one.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to address is what do you and I consider to be the most optimal lineup construction? Because I actually think Drew and I disagree about this, but I think very clearly the right roster construction in draft best balls, which is no kicker, no defense, and that's different than the FFPC best balls. But I believe the right strategy is 2 quarterbacks, 6 running backs, 7 wide receivers, and 3 tight ends.
I think it's 2-7-7-2. But I think there's some variability based on the strength. Like I like going 2-7-7-2 because I generally draft a lot of receivers early and I usually get one pretty good tight end and an okay second tight end. If I was drafting like Eifert, Doyle, and somebody, I'd take 3 tight ends, but I just usually don't find myself in that situation. And I know a lot of people think you should take more receivers than running backs, but if you're going full 0 RB, I'm trying to get really lucky at running back. And, you know, assuming that if I'm taking, you know, 5-6 receivers in the first 7-8 rounds, that, you know, I don't need 8 of them. But I go 2-6-8-2 more than I go 3 tight ends. I don't go.
So I think the reason that I go 3 tight ends very often is that if I don't take Travis Kelce, I'm probably not taking a tight end until Jack Doyle. Like a lot of the times I like a tight end trio that I found myself having because it works with my quarterback stacks is I will go, you know, Jack Doyle or Greg Olsen, and then I'll follow him up with Jason Witten and Ricky Seals-Jones because Witten matches the stack with Dak. Ricky Seals-Jones matches the stack with Kyler. And those are guys that I draft a lot.
Yeah, I think you should probably be taking more. I know people are down. Yeah, good tight ends. I know people are down on Ertz. I've stopped taking him at like the 2-3 turn, but he's lasted to the 3-4 turn a few times.
I actually just this morning in the $5 took him in, took him at the 401 because I had the turn, I had the wrap.
Ertz and Kittle are really hard for me because systemically for best ball, I think jumping on them makes sense. But our projections for like a regular redraft league have them as vastly overrated. So it's a really difficult. It's very possible, but it's hard to like marry the concepts of like structurally. I think it's because the thing with the top tight end, when they go off on a week, there's only like 4 or 5 tight ends that can even reach a certain ceiling weekly. Whereas, yeah, Nuke in round 1 has this insane ceiling. But if you take 9 receivers or something and some big play guys late, like Robert Foster 1 week could go 5-102. Like, it could happen. It's not likely, but tight end, it's just not happening. Like, if you take three crap tight ends, it's not going to equate to the ceiling week, right? It helps you get usable weeks by having.
Yeah, you probably like you think in your head, like, oh, you know, I'm getting good spiked week potential. But in reality, what you're getting is you're getting very good odds that one of them will go four catches for 44 yards. Like, you're not getting good odds of a 25-point game at all.
Yeah, and that's why I like Kittle at the 2-3 turn, Ertz 3-4 turn, and, you know, at 5-6 turn, I like O.J. Howard, Hunter Henry. You know,
Henry, I have fourth in my rankings. Our projections really like him. Henry is the one guy that I do really like to take. And I guess given how high the projections are and how high my rankings are on the Tampa Bay offense, I should be more into Howard.
You've got Howard tight end five, our projections. Yeah. Tight end six.
I think maybe I would say that that's not a ranking that I have like mega confidence in. So I don't take him there a ton.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do think, like, he is a guy that can have nuts weeks, you know, especially if someone goes down, whether it's Godwin or Evans.
You know, if we are right, if our projections are right about the Tampa Bay offense, which I think they are, I mean, O.J. Howard's going to have a insane, like, a couple crazy spiked weeks.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's why I generally am only two tight ends, and you might be three more often. But I think in general, we're talking the same type of build, you know. Two quarterbacks, two to three tight ends, six to eight, you know, I guess you could say five to seven running backs and six to eight receivers. Like, that's your generic build for a regular team. So,
yeah. I lean the three tight ends, not like even more, like, honestly, just because of the stacking. Like, it's just because some of those, like Gerald Everett, a lot of those guys are just like real, like, stack fillers.
Yeah. And my thought process. We both just started a draft. I started one too. I didn't tell you to kind of talk through this. And I got the second.
Oh my gosh, we're in the same one.
Are we really?
We really are.
Well, no, we're not.
We are. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at your screen name right now.
Well, this should be interesting.
this will be really interesting. And this is really interesting. I'm at the sixth pick, and no one, and Zeke and DJ are both still there.
Yeah. So Zeke, people are like,
I'm taking Zeke. This might look hilarious. This could be freezing cold takes. I think there's a very good chance Zeke plays 16 games.
Yeah. So let's circling back to the whole point
circling
of the podcast,
back.
Which is weird roster constructions is. That I think what you can do in the best ball championship is draft, assuming like a component of your draft is going to go perfect for the season. You know, okay. When we're drafting regular, like, we know we're going to get some injuries, breakouts, busts. But to win best ball, my idea is like, and this is where I like picking second, is to make a hyper fragile, you know, running back heavy team where I draft three running backs out of the gate. I draft four overall. And I only take four because you only have to start two. And I just assume these guys are RB1s. They stay healthy. And that lets me go absolutely nuts at receiver. You know, I can draft 9 to 10 receivers. If I only draft 9 receivers, that leaves me some room to go three tight ends or three quarterbacks. I don't generally go three quarterbacks, but I think you have some room to get flexible at your other positions if you just assume it goes right. Now, you would never do this in a regular league because you don't need that kind of ceiling. You don't need to make – like, it's a big parlay bet, right? Like, you're parlaying that three running backs stay healthy and are good. And that's
right. In the cash games, I would just always do two – I would do 2-6-7-3 100% of the time in the cash games.
I'm still like 2-7-7-2, but that might be stupid. It might be three in the cash games.
The four for 44 at tight end,
by the way, which is like kind of wild.
I was like, oh man, what if he goes to the second round?
Yeah, he wasn't coming back. But anyway, so I think that's one interesting build. I've also done some zero RB builds where normally, even if I'm doing zero RB, as I mentioned, I'll have seven receivers, but I'll go six and really focus on like staggering the bye weeks. So I might go six out of the gate and not draft one the rest of the way. So then I might, if I do that too, like an elite stack, like if I get a nuke team with Deshaun Watson, you know, it's an expensive stack. I might take a really bad late second QB and just assume that Watson.
I really hate doing that. Like I really hate having.
We know Dink loves it.
Yeah, Dink is all on board. I really do not enjoy the Mariota, Dalton. I guess last year it was Tannehill. Yeah. This year it's Derek Carr, like second quarterback.
But the idea is, you're assuming the stack is going to crush for the season. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's the idea. Whereas you wouldn't just blindly make that assumption in a regular league. And you can, you, I think you can match and make some weird teams and get some construction that other people aren't going to have. And if you hit your assumption correctly, you're set up to really smash because you've got so many outs at the other positions, hypothetically, just because you've devoted a lot more quantity to them than other teams are going to. And I have found in like some people draft like these really stupid like five QB teams, and I would never do anything like that. But as I see those, I do wonder like at what level of crazy is it too crazy versus like should we be trying some like really weird things?
So I think like I'll give credit. I saw Draft Cheat draft a one quarterback, one tight end team the other day. So we drafted Kyler Murray as the only quarterback and Travis Kelce as the only tight end. And then the other 16 roster spots were all running backs and wide receivers. And, like, you know, that team has, like, just an absolutely infinitesimal chance of winning the 12-man league, right? But if that team somehow wins the 12-man league and gets through all the bye weeks, don't you think that team probably projects, like, pretty well in the Week 16 final? Like, not that I think it's good, but the median projection for having all those running backs and wide receivers has to improve if it somehow survives.
Yeah. I think what's hard, like, I just think I don't know if you can give up two bye weeks and have.
You're locked in taking a zero. However, it's worth noting Arizona and Kansas City have the same bye week. So he's just forfeiting week 12.
But it doesn't matter what week, like how it's distributed.
No, it does matter. No, think about that. It does matter how it's distributed because instead of forfeiting a position at 2 weeks, you're just forfeiting a position at 1 week.
Why does it matter what week? It's just the total points, isn't it?
I believe it's total points done on a weekly basis, though. Like your score from every week adds up. So
it's not going to matter if you chop off 10 points two separate weeks or if you chop off 20 points 1 week.
You're not understanding what I'm saying?
No, I'm not. We've had lots of miscommunication. So to make the playoffs, it's your total points like weeks 1 through
12.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so listen to what I'm saying. Instead of sacrificing 1 week where you have like 90 points, you're giving up 20 points in 1 week. Instead of giving it up on two separate weeks, but what it means is.
So what does it matter if you're giving up 20?
Maybe I am wrong.
You're wrong because if you
well, no, no, because
head to head or something, but you don't get to throw out a week.
You're right. I think this still makes sense in my head somehow. I just am not verbalizing it right.
It would make sense in like a head to head league where you're just punting a week, but
right.
This it's your total points 1 through 12, so it doesn't matter how you spread out the zeros. You're taking two zeros, whether you take them the same week or you take them separate weeks, you're getting a zero twice. You're getting 1-0 at quarterback, you're getting 1-0 at tight end.
Yeah, because it would be the difference in having a 120 point week and then a 100 point week. So yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah. I thought maybe it made more sense in my head.
But I don't think that I could, like I saw that draft cheat strategy and I just went in mine. I feel like I shouldn't have because I had like some good options there, but I decided to do the hyper fragile strategy. So I went Barkley out of the second pick, Melvin Gordon, Kerryon Johnson. And then I'll probably take one guy and like round, like hopefully to get like a Latavius Murray, Lamar Miller type in round 7.
There is definitely some value in loading up. Like, so if you're doing as many teams as you and I are, I do think there's some value in just building up like, okay, I have 8% of teams with Leonard Fournette. I have 10% of teams with Todd Gurley. I have 6% of teams.
I'm definitely not diversifying enough. I should be diversifying more when I do these teams because you want to like the idea if you're doing this hyper fragile strategy, one, you want an early pick. So you get one of the top five running backs, but yeah, you should be having like different parlays, right? Like different combinations of the three running backs out of the gate.
And I think you should be taking on all the risk guys too.
I, I was glossing. I wouldn't go the one tight end, one quarterback, as much as like I like getting nutty. I just think, I don't think you can sacrifice those points, and like you have to make the finals, right? Like,
yeah,
like then and all bets are off once you make the finals. So I feel
like my take would probably be if like a one quarterback, one tight end team did make the final, you'd have to make that team the favorite probably just from projections. Cause all the quarterback projections are going to fall in one range. You assume if a one tight end team makes the final, that tight end is probably good. So that tight end's going to receive a good projection. And then the median projection for eight running backs and eight wide receivers is going to be greater than the median projection for five running backs and six wide receivers or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
But it's not as big of a discrepancy as you just said. Like you just chopped off five running backs and receivers.
Yeah, I did. I just made that just to make my case sound a little bit better.
Yeah, I just I guess it'll be interesting to see what the margins are on like the cut lines of like making the finals, I guess.
I mean, the most interesting thing is going to be which team that's pretty cheap in these things right now, like has the Chiefs year from last year. Like what if the Raiders just smash? Like what if Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, Tyrell Williams, Darren Waller, Antonio Brown, like what if all these guys just have like crazy years?
No one's going to be like the KC thing there. I mean, it's obviously everything's hindsight, but like you could see it happening. Like they were pretty good with Alex Smith there and they like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could make it the Bears. You could make it the 2017 Rams or the 28.
I mean, I think the
2017 Bears. Rams.
I think the Bears are kind of interesting there.
Well, I more mean that the Bears did it last year. The Bears were dirt cheap last year, and Cohen, Trubisky, Taylor Gabriel all like way out. Like Taylor Gabriel probably went undrafted in best balls last year.
Oh man, do I just take all the injury risk with this team and take AJ Green? No, I'm.
No, so AJ Green, since he's been injured, like I think I moved him to like 85 overall in my rankings or something. Drafting 30-year-old hurt players, that falls outside of the hyper like risk strategy. That's just not.
Yeah, but the idea is that it's still AJ freaking Green, and you know, I'm drafting a ton of receivers that I'm not going to need him at all the first 5 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he goes late now. Like you can get AJ Green quite late.
Yeah, I'm going to go lock it DJ Moore because I just keep taking DJ Moore all the time.
Man, this Curtis Samuel wide receiver one season is going to be like bitter. It's going to be like bittersweet because I like pounded him when he was going late, but I'm kind of backing off of him now. And it's keeping all the Curtis Samuel hype is keeping DJ Moore at like a very reasonable ADP. DJ Moore's not rising at all.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I feel like we need to get back on track, though, with the so hyper-fragile strategy. So I think my favorite is three running backs out of the gate, get a fourth running back in, like, round seven or eight, like, and a guy that you feel – I don't know, that running back I feel like could be a mix of, like, an upside guy like a Henderson, Miles Sanders, or a pretty, like a hybrid guy like Lamar Miller or Latavius Murray. And then,
so something I did the other day was I started a draft. I think it was probably DJ because I think it was a later pick. I went DJ, Gurley, Marlon Mack, Josh Jacobs, and then I just didn't take another running back the rest of the way because like exactly what you're saying, it's like a parlay. And if one of those four running backs in your first four picks gets hurt in the best ball championship, you're probably not winning anyways. If one of your first four picks gets injured or misses significant time, you're probably not winning $1 million anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the assume something breaks right. Like that's the whole point behind hyperfragile. And you know, I wouldn't go as nuts with it as draft sheet did, but it can be an expensive stack. It can be wide receivers out of the gate. I think you want to build like lopsided teams where you're super high quality in one area, but low on quantity in that area. And then you're super high quantity in another area.
Yeah. And you're spreading the risk to somewhere else. So what do you think about, this is something I've been trying to do, is trying to create the expensive stacks. So like Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a very common stack if those two players have very good seasons. because those are the increased chance of a stack happening. It increases as the players get cheaper, right? So like DJ Moore, Cam Newton is a pretty reasonable snack, but like out of all of these teams, what percentage of teams do you think that will be DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson stacks?
What percentage?
Like an insanely low percentage, right? Or
I mean, probably T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck. I mean, pretty low, and that's where I think I should probably be like forcing some weird things here and there. Like, it's hard to like in your mind take guys at spots where they're bad value.
They're bad values.
But yeah, as I'm doing more and more of these, in addition to the hyperfragile construction, just in terms of quantities at certain positions. But yeah, I start thinking, as you kind of were noting, you know, I don't like Leonard Fournette at all, but should I have 5% Leonard Fournette? You know?
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Right? I mean, and should I take in a luck stack with Hilton, just get one of them in there, even though I think it's really stupid to draft Andrew Luck where he's going? And that's where I think it's really interesting. And this strategy is a lot more complex as you make more teams than I initially thought, which was to just pound
Best values.
Same roster construction. Best. Like, I always wanted to do upside stacks, but I wanted to do it within this same framework. And I just wanted to do it, you know, 25 times. And now it's kind of like, maybe you shouldn't do that same framework 25 times, even if you're mixing and matching the players.
I mean, if you're doing 25 teams, that's fine. If you're doing 150 teams, you should be doing
something. I'm probably closer to 25, but I still think you should get a little wild.
You think you should get wild with 25 teams?
I mean, the idea is it a plus EV strategy or isn't it? You know, whether you're doing 25 or 100. I think
it's not about the.
I guess I should split getting wild into two getting wild. I think getting wild in terms of, you know, should I be taking three Leonard Fournette teams that I hate if I'm only doing 25? You know, probably not. Whereas I probably should if I'm doing it.
Yeah, like I'm more wild to get. I'm more apt to get wild in the five than I am in the 25 because I just won't have as many teams in the 25. But I don't know. But I think
roster construction wise, you should still get wild whether you're doing 25 or 150 teams. I think player diversity. I'm less likely to force diversity in players with 25 teams versus 150. But like, if a hyper fragile four running back. If we think that's a strategy that's worth trying, then that's a strategy that's worth trying, you know, regardless. Okay,
you do get some money back for winning your individual league. Like not all of the money is so like I still wanna have teams that win my 12-man league, right? Like
if you're entering these, that's
Well, like last year, my best ROI was not in the cash games. My best ROI was actually in the $5 last year. I did better in that than I did in the cash games.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which, like, I think probably is somewhat related to the fact that people are doing weird things in the bigger one that they're not doing in the cash games.
Yeah. But, yeah, I still think you should be going weird with some teams, even if you're trending closer to 20 teams versus 150. I still think there's merit to it.
So...
The idea is right now, a few teams that have insane upside if, you know, a certain assumption hits. Like, that's how your best chance of winning $1 million is going to be.
So right now in this draft we're in, we're through 7 rounds, and I have 2 running backs, and I have 5 wide receivers. I could see with this team not taking another wide receiver and just limiting it with 5.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think that's decent.
You kind of started with... kind of a normal, like, modified hybrid zero running. Like, you went Elliott, Chubb, and then pounded receivers. You're kind of set up to kind of just do a normal team, I think.
I actually find this happens.
I don't think you
this happens to me a lot.
Yeah, it happens to me a lot, too. I went Barkley, Gordon, Kerryon. Then I started pounding the receivers with Lockett, DJ Moore, Watkins. Then I went back to Latavius Murray as my 4th running back, kind of how I mentioned. So I'm going to stop at 4 running backs. But I think yours, the problem is you didn't draft that 3rd running back to go hyper fragile for a running back team. And you didn't draft receivers.
I see. When I see.
Fragile with the receivers.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You don't have to do it. And it's not going to fall. Like, I think it has to break right. Like, I forced it a little bit. Like, I probably would have gone, you know, Kittle and Antonio Brown with Saquon Barkley, but I kind of wanted to force it for this podcast. I think it has to break right, and you don't have to do it every time. But if it does break right, like, I think it's totally fine to try it. Your spot, I'd probably draft a pretty normal construction where you are.
Which, like, I was trying, I like, this is how much of a chalk donkey, and, like, honestly, I've become such a slave to, like, our projections and stuff. Like, I really am just taking sort of the same guys over and over. Do you, like, actually, before we get out of here, I do have some thoughts on that. Like, how much value is there in just, like, straight up just doing, like, going, like, 2-3 rounds off of ADP? Like, do you think that there's any value in just, like, getting, like, real weird just so that you can guarantee that other people don't have your team?
I was thinking about this the other day when a few people tweeted out guys going in the first round that had no business going in the first round. And I wouldn't do it there, but I don't know. I think ultimately what I decided is I think there's enough ways to get unique without doing that. You know,
what are some of your favorite ways?
Expensive to stack with Andrew Luck. Well, just this hyper, everything we've talked about, whether it's forcing, you know, some diversity with Fournette or like an Andrew Luck Hilton stack, or it's doing hyper fragile strategy, whether it's with, you know, full zero running back or it's with super heavy, robust running back. I'd rather do that. And like, I'd rather have a super weird four running back team that has very little floor because of the risk with the amount of running backs than I would take, you know, a guy in round three that should go in round six.
I was just thinking, I can pretty much guarantee a unique team. I was like, you start out Hopkins, then you go T.Y. Hilton, then you take whoever you want in the third round, then 4 or 5, you go Watson.
Yeah, there, you know, I think there might be some merit in doing it.
Like that doesn't go that far off ADP.
When you do it early, where... Yeah, where it's going to be a unique combo in the first 2-3 rounds, but none of them are, like, bad players.
Yeah, like, so that's definitely different than going 2 rounds early on Derek Carr and Tyrell Williams just to get weird. Like, that's like, a very different...
I have a bunch of combinations at the turn, 1-2 turn of Juju, Julio, and Odell. Like, maybe one of those I should pump in a Hilton. You know, that makes sense to me. You know. Yeah. Evans probably is paired with those guys less often, but still kind of enough. But Hilton, like, that might be unique. You know, Julio Hilton, you know, nobody else might have.
Yeah, that's probably – yeah, that's – okay. No, that actually is really interesting. Like, good players who just are, like – because really, how much, like, would you be incredibly shocked if T.Y. Hilton finishes, like, wide receiver 5 this year? It's not what our projections say, but I wouldn't be, like, utterly flabbergasted. You know, no,
and he's also the guy that if you get into the finals, I mean, he's the guy that can go 150-2.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I a lot like you when we started doing this whole best ball thing and digging into the tools. I was not prepared for it to be like as interesting as it was. I kind of just thought it was like an exercise of like mindlessly drafting the best values over and over and over again.
Yeah,
it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that because of the format.
Yeah, definitely.
In cash games, it kind of is just mindlessly drafting the best values over and over again. But like that's the same thing as DFS, though. Oh, Leone's about to make a pick. I just made a bad pick. I didn't realize I was on the clock and I clicked the wrong dude. So yeah, I will have an unstacked Baker Mayfield on this team.
I'm like freaking out right now. I don't know who to pick.
At least I won't end up with Dwayne Haskins as my second quarterback on this team, though. And that's what's really important.
Yeah, dink piece. I talked about taking a bad second quarterback, but that was with a very specific strategy. Dink loves to do that way too often. We've been on him. We had an intervention.
He added it up. It's like 30% of his teams have a second quarterback that's like a dog to play. You love to see it. All right, well, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about in terms of best ball strategy stuff?
No, I think that's it. I'd love to hear feedback from anyone listening, you know, what their unique ways of building teams are. How are they getting?
Yeah, let us know. We've been talking a lot about best balls in the Daily Roto Slack because people are getting into it. It is now like officially best ball season. It's time. So everyone, please make sure to check out the NFL 365 package on rotoexperts.com. If you want to dig into some of these tools, if you want to look at the projections, if you want to see the premium content that we've been putting out related to your best ball league and all of your weekly management leagues, head on over to rotoexperts.com and you can get 10% off of our NFL 365 package using the promo code MATIC.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.